All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
We are through the Amy Series community games, and after today, the only football left to be played is the real deal. So let's break down all the highs and lows, the winners and losers of the preseason. Let's go!
Coach has done it from nowhere.
G'day and welcome again to the Ball Boys AFL Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Casey, and you can find me on Twitter at Ball Boys Fantasy. And here, just in the nick of time, getting the transition in, Luke Rogerson, how are you, mate?
Good, mate. I just saw one last little adjustment with the camera, and you know, at the Ball Boys, we pride ourselves on no technical difficulties
ever. Absolutely. Pitch perfect audio, video. Everything you'd expect from a high quality production.
That's what the people pay for, mate. We've got to give it to them.
Absolutely. Mate, we have a lot of footy to talk about because there was a lot of content that went down over the weekend, a lot of games and a lot of information to digest. And we are going to be helping people go through it. Any thoughts just off the top before we talk about specific players, but any thoughts off the top? How are you feeling settled after the practice match? Do you feel ready for the start of the season?
No, definitely not.
Good. That's good. Nice start.
I feel as though there were plenty of players that put their hands up, but not as many in the positions that I was hoping. And we'll talk about that in a little bit more detail in a second. But also, I think worth mentioning off the top, at time of recording and essentially time of releasing this one as well. We've got some moisture coming in off the Queensland coast.
Yeah, the moist meter is right up there.
I forgot about the moist meter.
What happened to the moist meter?
I'll bring it back. The moist meter, hell yeah.
It's off the charts up here at Brisbane.
Cyclone Alfred.
Yeah, I'm sure we could have come up with a better name.
Followed quickly by Batman. Well, I read, just currently reading this Fox Sports article, and Jared Waitley said that he spoke to a few people in Brisbane and there was a sense of foreboding.
Are you feeling foreboded?
He didn't talk to me because I was not feeling foreboded today.
No, we weren't either. But I will say, the toilet paper in the shopping centre, it is at an all-time low. So was it all you?
Yeah, correct.
people are at all-time panic. So we'll be interesting to see if the round zero for that game goes ahead. We will be speaking to Tim Guest in the next podcast about some opening round roulette, which will be coming out on Wednesday. That will also be recorded tonight. So hopefully that podcast is relevant for Wednesday, but we'll wait and see. Let's talk about some of these players. Now, if you want to be ahead of the game, if you're the type of person that wants to have all the information at the time when it's most valuable,
that sounds good.
That sounds really good. You want the Ball Boys Patreon, because all of this information that we're going to go through today and more, probably not going to cover all of it because we wrote a lot of words over the weekend, Luke.
So many words.
The guys that have signed up to the Ball Boys Premium Membership. I don't know what I said. The premium membership have all got this. Every game reviewed, our thoughts on all the relevant players. So if you want that little bit of extra edge for your fantasy team to win your league, to win your draft, anything that you want to do with fantasy, head over to patreon.com/ballboys and sign up today. And if you sign up now, before the start of the season, you have a chance. You can go into the league that we've got set up there. And if you beat me this year, then you will get half your money back for the Patreon. And the winner gets $500 cash as well as their money back, obviously, unless I beat everyone, which is possible. But you have to enter before round one to be eligible for that money back competition in our league.
I hope you're going to pay me when I beat you too. I'm a paying member. How much I love our Patreon. I'm actually a paying member. I need to boost it up.
Which is silly because we don't get 100% of everything. So you're literally just paying Patreon some money. But
hey, get our numbers from...
The numbers look good. It's good for the algorithm, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Nice. But let's talk defenders. Now, we're going to go through not every game by game, because I think a lot of podcasts will do that. But we're going to talk position by position, stocks up and stocks down. Now, if we don't mention someone, it's not because we think they were bad. It's more just nothing's necessarily changed with how we were thinking they were going into the practice matches. So they might still be a good option, but we don't think that they're like shot up even more after the practice matches. Is that fair to say, Luke?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
So some stocks up defenders.
And if you want our thoughts, Patreon.
Absolutely. Let's talk about our boy, Short Goes Long, Jaden Short. He, at the end of the first half, we'd seen enough, hadn't we?
Yeah, well, I put a very, very nice little moz on him.
Yeah, you did, actually. Yeah,
in the article.
Mid-season form with the moz.
Yeah, in the article I was writing up, I put the little bullseye next to his name, which says, get him in there at halftime. And I've put an all-time moz because he slowed right down after that. But
surely he was just kicking his feet up, right?
I'd have to imagine. And Richmond were also copying just one of the all-time up-and-unders. But
one of the all-time so far.
Yes, and that's why it sounds silly what I'm saying is because Richmond are going to be copying those all year. But I think Shorty showed us enough in the first half to just keep a few people guessing. But if you're a Shorty fan, keep him in there. I will be, and he'll be the skipper down back at the Oxlongs.
At one skipper?
Well, just in that sort of metaphorical sense of the word.
Not actually doubling his points. No. You just,
No.
Just. But at one point, the score from Collingwood was 20 goals to one behind.
It's a lot of goals.
And very few behinds.
Correct. Well summarised.
So, I think, I mean, maybe most games, there'll be a few more behinds being kicked and he can get on the back of some of those plus sixes. So, I think all things are looking good for Jaden Short. One of the few defenders I feel confident in starting. Matt Roberts, he stocks up, I think.
Yeah.
Looked good. Scored well. 112 points, I want to say, he scored. Am I saying right? Yeah, 112. 11 marks, 27 disposals. Yeah, how does he come into calculations for you? Because personally, I haven't been that keen, but he definitely caught my eye a little bit more.
Yeah, this was a largely irrelevant game, I thought, at the time. But Roberts was one of the guys that I was watching when looking at this one, and he has made his way into the Oxlongs. Something to be noted from this game is the lizard Nick Blakey played really low time.
He stopped after half time. Am I right in saying that?
So his tog was well down from what you would of course expect him to do in the season. 43%. So
yeah, I think he only played the first half.
So he's barely played at all. But I don't see him. I see him and Roberts differently. Roberts to me is more of an accumulator type. Blakey's going to be that run and dash, a lot more bouncy. So I think Roberts can get it done, especially he's priced, I think, is it mid-70s, 78?
77, I think, off the top of my head, but yeah.
So I think that there's enough there that Roberts can get it done. He's obviously playing opening round, so there's a line, but if I see mid-90s, 100 from him, then I think that I'm liking the look of it.
Yeah, he stocks up for me because I wasn't really considering him in my side. I think there is a world where I could start with him now, and if he does, if he did the same thing in an opening round, I probably would start him. In fact, I definitely would. So here's to hoping that that's a sign of things to come.
His stocks could go up even further if the cyclone comes and washes away the Gabatoir as well, because you're going to have less players to worry about on that.
Yes. No, I know what you're saying. Yeah, you obviously got fewer round three buy players with no Bailey Smith, no Ashcrofts, all those.
SDK.
SDK. So, yeah, there might be fewer of those round three players to worry about, which would obviously help Roberts. Let's talk about another player, which I'm gonna. This is your guy. I'm going to give him to you because you were bullish on him from the start. People laughed at you. They were calling you names behind your back. And
when you say people, is it you?
They shall remain anonymous. But James Sicily, sick dog. He looked good, didn't he? He played back for the majority of the game, was racking up plus sixes. The traders were talking about him barking at other defenders today, which definitely is accurate. Is he... you said Roberts made his way into your side. Did Sicily make his way back into your side?
He did. I felt it in my waters early in the preseason.
Oh,
oh yeah, right in my waters there.
Is that just because of the moist meter around?
The moist meter. I felt it in my bow waters. So the thing always was, if he was going to play back, then Stocks were way up because they've added accountable defenders to that mix. And so if Sicily goes down there, what does Sicily do best? Not be accountable.
No, we don't want
his... That's his thing. He loves that. So if he's going to play back...
He's no George Wardle or the accountant. He's...
No, not that kind of accounting.
No.
The other thing too is if he goes forward very occasionally to try and win Hawthorn a game, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, and peek behind the curtain, we already recorded this podcast, but we'll talk about Guessy. I think that could be a good thing if it's only when the game is in the balance, because... Those types of games, if that's the kind of game, and that was kind of really set up to be that way in this practice match, and it was really a perfect opportunity for them to practice just that. They also didn't have, like in the previous game, they didn't have Carl Amon and Impey. I think both those players played. I know Amon was there. I'm trying to remember if Impey was there or not. But they basically had pretty much close to a full strength side, especially in their defense line. So to me, that is a big tick in his favour as well. So if he has a decent opening round game, I think he's definitely someone you consider potentially starting at D1 or D2. So
I think so.
I like the look of Sick Dog. It is a risky pick. There's still risk there. You could be flung forward at any point. But I think in the defence line this year, we've got to take some risks. We've got to take some punts. And I think Sicily is a perfect kind of place to do this.
The next guy we want to talk about, I think early preseason he was miles off your team, but he's floated in there now.
He is very much there. Very good, very good. We are talking Miles Bergman, of course.
Floating,
yeah, iceberg. Yeah, nice. I know what you're doing. Is he floating into your team?
Yeah.
Is he going to cause any shipwrecks for your season?
He's floated in there hard. Watch out if you're another defender at the Oxlongs. You're going to cop a bloody whack to your starboard. Something bow, port side.
You need to work on your boat talk, mate. I think the interesting thing, not to pour some cold water on the pick.
Nice.
Yep. He is one of many defenders that scored well in this game. They were going up against the Saints, and they absolutely trounced the Saints.
You've done it 2 weeks in a row.
2 weeks in a row. I know. But this matchup, it didn't... I don't... Like, I'm saying Stocks up, but... You could say the same for a lot of defenders for Port Adelaide, and we will talk about one of those defenders later, who's actually available in our forward line. But I still think he is probably... It surprised me. He's only 23 years old. I thought he was older than that. So, young player, still improving. I think he is more the guy who's going to be the primary ball mover, even if he's not the guy taking the majority of the kick-ins. I think that will still be Farrell. But I think Bergman is more that mobile guy that gets right up close to the stoppages and just collects a bit more open ball. Would you agree?
Yeah, but nah, he's in the team.
He's in the team. Okay, all right. Let's talk about some players that unfortunately, bow, bow, Stocks down and from one body of water to another.
Nice.
Trent Rivers, who was a guy... I had two players in my defense that I thought, yep, these guys are going to be there in round one, barring a catastrophe. Him and Jaden Short. And unfortunately, Rivers Stocks down by Ed Langdon, of all people.
Yeah, well, I mean, this you normally give it a bit of this one when something bad happens.
Did you do the right one?
No.
I was
going to say. It's always the orange one, isn't it?
Oh, this one.
Chaos is a ladder.
This is what Mitch likes to publicly preach, but you should have seen the sooking that was going on the couch last night when we were watching Trent Rivers just fall apart in front of your eyes.
Yeah. Look, I'm sick of the defense line having all this chaos. I want just one easy pick, please.
It's a ladder when it suits you.
Yeah, when it suits me. But he, not only the scoring was down, but just the fact that we said there was a huge asterisk with his good performance the week before. There was no Viney, there was no Petrarca, but apparently there was also no Langdon because Langdon also stepped in and one of the highest CBA midfielders. And we sort of started thinking about it. There are a few more wingers on that team than there were in the previous year. And they mentioned it in the previous game. I sort of swept it under the rug, but it seems like it's a real thing. And when you're in that Port Adelaide style midfield of everyone just getting 50 to 65% CBAs, for someone like Rivers, who has time on ground issues in the past, and clearly took a step backwards behind some of those guys, it doesn't fill me with confidence to start him now.
Yep, echo your thoughts.
Yeah, so he's out of your side?
He is.
Ugh, gross. All right, let's talk about Sam De Koning. Now, I've got him on the run sheet here. Stocks down, question mark.
Yeah, and I think it's a valid question mark. This was one of those ones where you looked at it and you thought, the role was good, but it's so hard mentally to look past a stinky score. And and it's hard when you watched that game, you saw that there were opportunities, the ball was there, it just didn't look like he was going to get his hands on it. There might have been tackles that were there that he didn't quite stick. All these little things add up to you thinking, is this a guy that we can pick? You get to have a look at it in opening round, barring the moist meter getting off the charts up in here in Brisbane. But there's part of me that kind of wants to throw the question back to you. If you don't get a look at him, let's say that game gets moved to round three,
mm-hmm.
can you still pick him? Could you pick him as a D6?
I think I'm not sure I want to go that deep, just in terms of my structure. I mean, there is a world, but I do think with the best 18 rounds and stuff like that, my strategy is maybe to not go that deep, just to hope that I can maybe get a bit more upside with some of my top dog picks and allow the possibility that I get some rookies that pop, even if maybe it's not the first round, two, three.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.
At Tanger Outlets, find all the best brands all on sale every day. Step into the season's newest arrivals and save big on the styles you love. Shop Under Armour, Michael Kors, Crocs, and more. With up to 70% off, plus an extra 25% off for a limited time. Hurry in for amazing deals from the brands you love. Only at Tanger Outlets.
Three, four rounds even, but by round five, when we're back to best 22... I'm hoping that there's some sort of structure that I can find myself into. And I just feel like I'm closing myself off to that possibility a bit if I start with him at D6. So for me, it's a D5 option. One thing that I will say, his CBAs were very high. 25 of the CBAs, which was second only to Elijah Sardis. His ruck contests, however, were not as dominant. So it wasn't your typical... like, he wasn't rucking everywhere. So... he only had 41 to Blitzarv's 29 and Shannon Neal's 12. So if you combine Blitzarv's and Shannon Neal, he only had 50% of the ruck contests, whereas he was sort of right up sort of 80% CBAs. So that's an interesting little, you know, wrinkle in the stats there as well. I wonder if that's something... because they did mention, I remember... Chris Scott said something about going about the ruck position a bit differently. He cited Max Gawn in what, round five or six or something like that.
Yeah, he was pretty coy about it, as Chris Scott can be. Classic. But I think I can see why that might be a way that they go. They like him in there as effectively when it comes to ground and an extra on-baller at a CBA. Mm. But then around the ground, when you're taking on some of those big ruckmen who can clunk it overhead, maybe they throw a different look.
So maybe he's only in those ruck contests in the middle, you know, half or third of the ground, and Neil's rucking in the forward line, and Blitzarv's rucking in the defense, or something like that. So, I just thought that was interesting distinguishment between those two stats. They normally sort of line up a lot more closely, which could be a bit of a flag. You know, we say that the role was there. Well, maybe it's not the traditional role of an 80%+ CBA ruckman than we are seeing, and maybe that could be a reason as to why his scoring was a little bit down. We do remember Essendon's a tougher matchup, one of the hardest matchups for rucks. And if he isn't playing an opening round, if that game does get postponed, then he will start with a really nice matchup in Liam Reedy at Frio. So interesting. I think you could look at that one of either way. You could say Stocks up, he had the role, he's the same as what we expected, or Stocks down because he scored poorly. So let us know in the comment section below, what did you make of Sam De Koning's game, and is he someone that, say we don't get opening round, will you start him if you can't see any more? Another Stocks down, rookie department, Bo Allen. You watched this game and questioned if he was even playing.
Yeah, I feel bad saying that because, I actually think the role that he was trying to play played it reasonably well. And I think, was I reading somewhere? Did somebody hit me up and let me know that even the coach might have said that he actually was impressed by the way he played his role? It's just unfortunately for us, the role wasn't...
I think there's some potential down the line, but yeah, if he throws up scores like that, I don't think we can have the confidence to have him starting in our fantasy side.
Yeah.
And I remember the week before, I liked a few things that I would do, but I wasn't counting stats, and he could have scored just as poorly as well. So
Bo's got to go.
Bo has to go. Let's move into the midfield, and this guy... I mean, I want to say he's my guy because I really love the player, but I think... You know, there's a certain Adelaide fan over at the AFL Fantasy Fanatics who might lay claim to him, but I don't know if you checked the ownership numbers before and after this game. I'm going to check his ownership numbers now.
Are you going to reveal the player?
Yeah. Jordan Dawson.
It's the longest wind-up I've ever seen.
Jordan Dawson had a mammoth game. Okay. 135, I want to say off the top of my head.
135.
And just seemed to coast in the second half as well, so...
In typical Jordan Dawson fashion too, so 7 marks, 9 tackles, he's kicked a couple of goals there. He does it all, and that's why he scores so well.
So he's at 17% owned now, when I want to say that was closer to 5 or 6% before this weekend. So he's probably shot up about 10% since the game.
CBAs is always, not CBAs, but the Adelaide midfield has always been the question mark. So Rankin was actually their leading CBA getter with 21, Crouch 18, and then Dawson with 16. So it's probably kind of like a clear cut. Top three guys, do you anticipate that guys like Saligo, Pete Ling, even a little bit of Draper will take points or take CBAs off Dawson?
I don't know if they're taking CBAs off Dawson, but there were some comments he mentioned after the game that I thought were very interesting. He said that he will be playing a little bit of forward time in an effort to try and keep them as fresh as they can before the end of the season. He sort of noted that if the midfield rotation is too tight and there's not as many guys going through there, that they can break down and start to fatigue at the end of the season, which is a very valid point. So I thought it was interesting that he specifically went out his way to note that. So I don't think we're going to see him getting as high in terms of CBA numbers as he did 2 years ago, but I do think it'll be higher than it was last year. So somewhere in between, I think, is where we're going to see Jordan Dawson. So, I mean, I love the guy. I think he's one of the best players in the competition. So I can definitely still see him as a 110 guy. Is he that guy that can go 116 that we sort of, you know, mentioned before as when he gets those 60%+ CBAs? I'm not as confident on that with this many players going through there all the time. But I do think he's unders. So it stocks up for me. I think he's clearly still their best player. And he's just a gun. It's just a good reminder. And obviously, price at 105, he is value.
Connor Rozee, you had eyes on this game. I didn't. But I had eyes on the score, and my eyes got very big when I saw the final score.
Just lock him in. Absolutely just lock him in. He was everywhere. Didn't look like he was trying. The thing I love to see my midfielders do is get back and get a plus six getting out of the kick-ins. Like if you find your way back in defensive 50 and get those marks, and you do that 3, 4, 5 times a game, add that to the congested stuff that you're doing, and it's an easy way to get a lot of points. With no butters there, he's going to absolutely feast, and I think Horton Francis is going to take the attention away from him, and he's going to be able to run free. So price under 100, I think the early half of the season, there's no way he goes under that. Absolutely no way. And with their starting fixture, I think he's a fairly easy pick for us early in the season. I love what I saw from him.
One that might not be so easy, but has definitely put his name up with his community series performance, is Christian Petrarca. So this is a guy that we know has done it before, and he's now priced at 90. The thing that maybe surprised me a little bit from yesterday's game was the CBA numbers. I did expect to see him spend a little bit more time forward with Rivers maybe seeing more midfield time, but yesterday that's not what we saw.
Yeah, he was right up there, and even with more players going in there than we have seen in the past for Melbourne. So You've obviously got Langdon, who's now moved in there. He didn't play, I think, any games with Rivers in there last year either. So we haven't seen that mix coming in together as well. So last year he was 56%. The year before he was 61%. The 2 years prior to that, 75 and 79. Where do you think he falls on that sort of a list? I know we had a lot of CBAs on the weekend. I still think he's probably going to be close to that 65% CBA rather than like a 75% CBA guy. But with that said, in 2023, he averaged 105 on 61% CBAs. And if he does that price at 90, it's a smash pick.
Yeah, it really is. The price at 90, I think, is the key point. It's maybe less so about those CBAs, because I think, like you said, I think 60 is probably the floor. If you're playing Christian Petrarca less than 60% CBAs, then I think you're potentially doing something wrong, because he's so explosive out of there.
They've got a pretty good run, too.
Yeah, and something that we haven't spoken about on this podcast, but I think is potentially underrated, is you ask yourself, well, if Christian Petrarca is not playing full-time mid, where is he playing? He's playing forward. If Melbourne are playing well...
Yeah. Oh, he scores still.
Do you know what I mean? He's going to score well on the forward line too, because they're just playing well. They're kicking more goals. It's down there more. So
they have North Melbourne, Richmond, and West Coast in their first eight games. They also have Gold Coast, Geelong, and Essendon, who are three green teams on the table indicating toughness. So there's six games out of his first eight, which I would describe as very nice matchups. So, I initially, when I was watching this game, and I even talked to you after sort of watching it, I was sort of like, oh, it's a bit of a trap, but I've thought about it a bit more, and he is definitely someone that comes into consideration for my team, maybe depending on some opening round performances.
Yeah, I think there's more to this one. Yeah. I definitely think there's more to this one. I think we'll be talking about him next week.
He is a gun, and he looks like he was moving well. The rib thing, obviously not an issue.
Got heaps of them in there, like, mate. You don't need one.
You got a few. Sorry about it. A few to fall back from. Let's talk about another one. Tom Powell.
Powell!
Yes, very nice. He's doing it.
He's doing it.
He's looking good.
He's doing it. He's shitting in this. What's that from?
No idea where you're going with
it. She's doing it. She's shitting in the... Shitting in the street. It's from a movie.
All right, we'll go with that.
It's like a rom-com movie.
when you have a quote, you've got to have it lined up, ready to go. Be confident.
Yeah. Leave that with me, guys. I'll work it out.
But Tom Powell, he does look better. Is it enough for you to consider starting him in your starting squad for Classic? We've said bump might be drafts up at this point. I do feel confident that he's going to improve.
Bridesmaids.
I still don't know if it's enough. Bridesmaids. Okay,
good movie.
Yeah, there you go. Is he enough? Is he considered in your starting squad?
Sorry, who are we talking about?
Tom Powell.
Sorry, I was doing my Googling. Tom Powell, no. And for me, I've said it a couple of times, but for me, it's that one where he's had the role before. He's been that guy, and then he's the next week been in the vest, or he's been out of that role. And there's nothing really in my mind that's changing so much in that... North Melbourne midfield that gives me confidence that suddenly he's been elevated. I know Wardlaw may be missing to start for a little bit, and then Luke Parker is also going to spend some time in there as well. So it seems like a natural progression thing. And then I think we got a little insight into it when they played the Weagles the other day, because if you have a look at his scoring, you can see that in that second quarter he popped a 50-point quarter, and then in the third quarter he had 17 points and there was a plus 12 in there, which was just the cheapest mark kick goal that you've seen. So if you take that away, he's gone from a 52-point quarter to a 5-point quarter.
So can go missing.
Yeah, this is one of those ones where there's every chance that you're hitting us up in the comments and giving it a bit of I told you so to me, because there's every chance that this one does go well, but it's just not for me right at this moment.
Yeah, price of 79, I can see him going 90. But for me, that's not enough. I think there are some players that are cheaper that can go at a similar level. I think there's players a little bit more that can go to the 100 mark. So he's just in that little bit of an awkward spot for me for Classic. So I think I agree with you there. Let's talk about Dylan Scheel. I think he stocks up 2 weeks in a row now.
Yeah, that's stocks double up, mate.
Yeah, that's a double up there for Dylan Scheel.
He's replaced Will Day in my team.
Right, so he's at the Oxlongs right now. He's not in the shower. He's on the list.
He is on the list. Graduated from the showers to out on the turf.
Okay. Big news. Big scenes over the Oxlongs. what do you need to see from him in opening round? Because he does have the round four bye. What do you need to see from him to give you the confidence to lock that pick in?
I want to continue to see, of course, the role. That's first and foremost, but I think it will be there. Is Hawthorn just a tough matchup for mids, or is it also a tough matchup for halfbacks? Can you consult the TRT?
Yeah, the TIT says that they are better matchup for defenders.
Okay, I'll take that into account.
They're a neutral matchup.
What about this? What about I'd like to see him outscore Will Day and go three figures?
Yeah, I mean, if he outscores Will Day, you're kind of comparing those two players directly towards one another.
Same buy, and then if you want the tiniest,
they're literally $9,000 apart.
If you want the tiniest little tiebreaker, well, in the role DPP. That we expect, Shield, yeah.
And if he gets DPP, he might be someone you can happily sit there for a little while. Is there any part of you that's concerned that he might lose the role at any point? Because he has it right now.
He does have it right now.
Is there a chance that maybe we get 6-7 weeks in and they're not liking what they're seeing, and they've got a few guys that they can put there instead? And
well, if they're not liking what they're seeing, that probably means that I'm not liking what I'm seeing, which means that it might be a fix-up trade anyway.
Is he looks good from a football perspective? Like, I know he's getting a lot of possessions and running hard off half-back and things like that. Has he been hitting targets? Do you think he's doing what Essendon want him to do?
That's two things that watching him in the last couple of weeks that I think maybe I underrated him was his ability to actually hit targets. But secondly, I actually underrated his speed.
That's one thing that really stood out to me. I was like, man, this guy he's quick.
Yeah, and line-breaking ability. So I've been impressed. I think Essendon's been impressed too. And you said that six-week thing. I think if it's going really bad, I have to use a fix-up trade, no harm, no foul. And if it's going well fantasy but going poorly for Essendon, 6 weeks is enough to get what I want and then move on.
Yeah, I think that round four bye is good for that, because I do think if he does get off to a decent round zero start score-wise, he will make a decent amount of cash. And then if it does go south on you quickly, you can easily pivot off. So, I think that he is a genuine starting pick, assuming that the role is looking pretty good.
I was talking Hawthorn for opening round as well, but it's Gold Coast.
Gold Coast. Well, that's a great matchup.
I was confusing when they have their bye round.
Yeah, round one, they think they play Hawthorn.
Play, yes.
Yeah. So Gold Coast, that's like one of the best matchups for
so then backs. Maybe I up that and I definitely want to see 100.
Although it might be cyclonic weather, which is the other thing. So
I'll consult the moisture meter and I'll let you know.
Okay, we'll see how we go. Let's talk about the next player is Angus Sheldrick, who we have to address the fact that Errol Goulden went and snapped his leg. A fractured ankle is the diagnosis. And the way it went down, I thought syndesmosis, but the way if he's fractured his ankle in that movement, that to me could be a very long-term injury. And I don't think they've come out and said exactly the timeline, but that wouldn't shock me. That's sort of like a Gordon Hayward. Maybe not to that extent, but like that's like those kind of ways of fracturing your ankle and that sort of movement is not good. And I think he could be set on the sidelines for, I would say, at least half the season, maybe even longer. But that can positively affect Angus Sheldrick. And also we have Mills, who's out at least until their bye round. What are we doing with Angus Sheldrick? He's obviously stocks up. Is it enough to start him?
Yes, it is. But I still am just not 100% convinced at where he falls in that pecking order. So new coach, and obviously we saw in the preseason game that he was getting some good clock in there. But like you say, when Mills does come back, does Mills leapfrog him? Sydney having, been a long way in the finals, but not quite got over that last hill. Are they looking for something slightly different? Is that Sheldrick? And if the answer is yes, then I think it's a really, really good pick. Price similarly to a Nathan O'Driscoll, but obviously has the early buy. So I think at the moment the tiebreaker for me between he and O'Driscoll is unfortunately that early buy. But if he is suddenly a top three midfield guy at Sydney, then priced at, I think it's 44, it's pretty hard to turn away from.
I don't think he's going to be a top three guy, but he might be the fourth player. I think you've still got Heaney, you've got Warner, you've got Rowbottom. They're still your top three.
So if he's four, it's good enough. If he's five,
yeah. The thing to me is, okay, if he's four And we're talking about a guy who's 400,000. Like, let's get that out there first. And he has shown scoring even at a low time on ground as well. He's got great points per minute. So the thing I would want to see, I'd want to see a good opening round score, because I just question how long the value is going to be there. So I see him as a guy that can make cash quickly, and then you get off relatively quickly as well, whilst, you know, as those other guys start to come back. I don't think he's a player I want to have in my side for a long time. He's in there for a good time, not a long time, Luke. So that's what I would want to see, and I'd want to see a good opening round to kickstart that cash generation. What are you, you're looking at Pokemon over here.
Is that a shell duck? Is a shell duck a Pokemon?
Shelder? I don't know.
I don't know.
Shelder. Yeah, I think that's a Pokemon. Yeah, there you go. That little thing. Yeah.
Ah. Oh.
Yeah, that little dude.
The Shelder.
The Shelder.
Yeah. The Sheldrick.
Use water gun, Shelder. Let's go on to the other guy at his price, Nathan O'Driscoll. The question is, can you have both? And if you can't have both, who do you prefer, O'Driscoll or Sheldrick? And it will be tied into opening rounds, undoubtedly. But what are your thoughts on the nod in his game?
You kind of heard my thoughts before when I was comparing to Sheldrick, but he was super, super impressive in their first Pracky match. I know it was against the Indigenous All-Stars, but I still thought it was enough from the eye test that he looked great. I was a little concerned at quarter time in the Amy series game yesterday when he had 0 points.
Well, you would be, because he was on 0 points.
Correct. And after I'd been talking him up big to you on the podcast, I was worried that I was going to have to eat my words. But he came good in the subsequent three quarters. I think he scored like 80-odd points.
Yeah, 87, I think, off the top of my head. I'll confirm that.
So when you've got a guy that's priced in the 40s, yep, that 87. Can score 87 points in three quarters and do it From primarily from the wing, a few CBAs in there. He looked good, didn't he?
He did. He was running well. Like, he looked fitter than I feel like I've seen him play before. Like, he was still running pretty hard at the end of the game, which I think is a very positive sign. And he looked confident. I think one of the things that really struck out to me was the way he was kicking the ball, the way he was playing. He looked like a man who was really just like, was really assured in his ability. So I think that's a big thing for footy players, especially younger players. So I have come around on the nod pick.
Do you think he's a sub risk? Do you think he's more of a sub risk than Shelduck? No, Shelder.
Shelder. I think he's probably safer, in my opinion. I think there's some other players, like your Erasmus, maybe even a Johnson, because he's a bit more one note than O'Driscoll, who can play inside and outside. I think he can move to different roles, which makes him more versatile in terms of the sub coming on and moving some things around. So I'm not too worried about his vestibility. I think he's okay. At the moment, I would be, if the season started now, we've got no opening round, I think I would rather start O'Driscoll than Sheldrick. But a big Sheldrick score in opening round might change my mind, if that's the case. So, well, interesting session. Do you think you can have both, or do you think that's playing with a too much mid price madness risk?
I think it is, because of the options we have in, let me call it, the next price bracket up. So because we have,
you'd rather someone like a Peatling and Hollands than some of these guys?
I think so, and part of that is because it's like you said on a previous podcast, which is that it's always easier to go down in that case than it is to go up. Yeah. So if I start Peatling and it turns out that Sheldrick and O'Driscoll were the right pick, well, going to Peatling to Sheldrick is going to make me money.
Easy, even if
I've missed a little bit of the boat, it's going to be a lot easier than trying to use a trade to generate cash just to make that miniature upgrade that I wouldn't feel awesome about anyway. So I like the idea of Hollands and Peatling with one of either Driscoll or Sheldrick. And then if you miss one of those two that you like, you can just pop Peatling down to him.
A couple of rookies that I think are stocks up, Levi Ashcroft and Hugh Boxall. I think Ashcroft was a bit more of an obvious one. I'm very happy to have him on our ground. I don't think we need to be stressing out on getting all rookies off our midfield. I think you should be having Ashcroft on your field as long as he is there round one. And if he doesn't have the round zero buy, honestly, I think it doesn't even matter, to be honest, with the rookies, but maybe a positive thing if you want some more scoring on your side in that round three. Hugh Boxall. Saints have a lot of young players. I'm surprised every time I watch them how many young rookies that are going to come through. I think they're going to have several debutants. I think of all of them, we might talk about a few more later, but I think Hugh Boxall maybe impressed me the most. He had low time on ground, but did a lot with it. He had one goal that was pretty much gifted to him. He flopped his way into a 50-meter penalty and had a good laugh about it. But a little bit of game sense about him and a bit of IQ there. So I think he looks the best. 230,000, I think he's a bench option only. Would you be happy with starting Boxall on your bench there, or some other guys you probably prefer ahead of him?
Yeah, I've missed the Saints games 2 weeks in a row now, so I'm relying on what you've told me. But
he's awesome. Put him at M2. Let's go.
At this point, if any rookie puts their hand up, I'll be all over him like a rash.
Yeah, the M9, M10 is still questionable for me, and I think a lot of our trades in the early season might be fixing that up, but I think if Boxall is there round one, and as long as he is there round one with a few other of those Saints young kids, then I think he's ahead of a few of them. If he was there only and like some of those other guys weren't there and he was a bit more on the edge of the team, then I'd feel a bit more nervous about it. But I don't think there was too many Saints missing from this side. So I think he's at least ahead of maybe two or three other players at this point when it comes to Vesteris. Stocks down. We've got several injuries to talk about. Marcus Bontempelli, Errol Goulden, and Zach Butters, all injured. Bont with the calf, out 6 to 8 weeks. Errol Goulden, fractured ankle, out months, not weeks, is what they've said. And Zach Butters has had knee scope. So he is out for, I think, about 4 to 6 weeks as well. So can't start any of those guys. Is there flow-on effects from any of these players? We talked a little bit about Goulden earlier. Bont, I guess we haven't touched on too much in the flow-on effects from there.
I think it can only be good for Sanders, but you know who the old man's chucked in his team now?
Oh, who?
Libber. He's got Libber in there.
He's going to fall for that trap.
Well, is it a trap? That's the thing. Libber's done this to us previously where nobody talks about him, just discount, and then halfway through the season you go, oh, Libber would have been a great pick.
Yeah, look, I think he'll be okay. He's one of those guys where I lean on my over 30s rule. I can't see that much upside. So I don't think I'm going to go to Libba, but he was fucking good in that game.
Yeah.
What did he have, like 10 tackles, like nearly at three-quarter time or something
like
that?
He went into Libba mode, so I won't go there either, but hats off to the old man if he does and it goes well.
So obviously you're not starting some of those guys. Another stocks down player I think is Sam Doherty. Really strange that he didn't come onto the field until halfway through the second quarter, which I just thought was really curious. I wasn't sure if it was load management because he played basically the entire game last practice match. So I would have thought if you're going to manage his load, you'd maybe take him off after three-quarter time there and play a bit more of a full game here. I've also seen some Carlton fans suggest that he might be a sub-risk.
On the cast.
Which I was surprised to see that from a few Carlton fans. I wouldn't have thought so, but I think from what I've seen in the preseason, he's gone down. I don't think I'm considering him my starting squad anymore.
I think he's also the kind of guy that will just do whatever is required for the team, and if that means being the sub, then he'll do that. But yeah, you're right. We haven't seen enough in the preseason, and just the fact that he only came on halfway through the second quarter is enough to be stocks down.
Isaac Cumming, he's going. Yep, good. Nice. On the same page there. We saw basically no half-back time at all for him, which is what people wanted. Basically purely a wing. Didn't score that well. I don't think there's too much to see here. Harvey Langford is someone I've got here as a rookie who stocks down because I was pretty bullish on him going into this practice match final series. Scored 39 points. I don't think he played the final quarter. So 39 points in three quarters as a rookie is actually not too bad. But I have a little bit of concerns in terms of his ability to accumulate. He's a big body. Kind of reminds me maybe of like a Harley Reid from last year where he could look good in a number of different passages, but maybe not rack up the scoring for us. It just has me wondering if there's a better option that can score equal or more even at a cheaper price than a Langford. What are your thoughts about him?
Yeah, this is one I didn't watch too much of in the preseason, but based on your notes, it seems like what you said is a pretty decent summary. It's one of those things where we're kind of crying out for options, and so you go looking at a player that doesn't really tick all the boxes, and I think that we're still just a little bit hopeful that there are some round zero rookies that put their hand up that force our hand.
Yeah, it would be very nice, although I'm not sure there's many in our midfield is maybe the only thing. So I still think he is an option on your bench, but I think it is bench. I'm not sure I'd want to start him on the field because I'm not sure if the scoring is going to be super high. But a bench would be okay because then you at least have the option if there's a rookie that pops off, you can go down to them. It's an easy trade then. Having to get him in, say, from a box shul, you have to find cash to make that possible. So that's always a tricky thing with starting with those basement price rookies. In the rucks, only one player that I've got here for stocks up, and that is Tom DeKooning. And it's more based on the news we got beforehand, but he followed up with a great performance. Mark Pitnett not going to be there round one, calf injury. And he looked as good as I thought he would look, getting a lot of kicks, got a lot of disposals in there. That's his thing. Is it as simple as we're locking him in for round one?
Yeah, in three quarters, I think I remember as well.
That sounds about right, yeah.
And he scored just shy of 100, it might have been, was it? So, yeah, that one, enough said.
Yeah, I think he's a pretty easy one. Yeah, 58% time on ground. So, yeah.
Sorry, it's 80-odd points.
Yeah, 80-odd points. But still, in just over half a game, that's pretty bloody good to me. So, I think that stocks up for Tom. And the rucks, stocks down, Kieran Briggs. I know some people were talking about him as an option. You know, his time on ground was low last year, so he might potentially improve. But I don't think you can't pick a player who doesn't play in the preseason matches. And he's obviously had off-season surgery as well. So, yeah, obviously 0 points. He was on the team sheet, but, yeah, didn't play in their match. So I don't think you can start a player. I mean, if he comes out in round zero and goes crazy, even then I'm a bit, why didn't he play? And he has the really early buy as well. So I think a stock down for Briggs. Reedy came up against Max, which is never tough, but...
Yeah, it probably turns out he wasn't Reedy, but...
I think I might have used that one before.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. That's all right. Recycling's good for the environment.
It is good, and I love the environment.
23 points, 3 disposals.
Yeah, it's just... cut and dry.
I don't think you can even have him. I won't be spending up for him at R3. No. I don't think, even if he's named. I think I'd rather almost a red dot at that point. I just don't think the cash generation is going to be worth that initial outlay of cash to begin with. And doing this while Sean Darcy's not there, I'm just not. I don't think he's going to fly up in cash.
Let's go forward, mate, because it's more exciting up there.
There's a lot of forwards that are stocks up.
Oh, the horny boy has...
Horny boy.
He has still not... come into the Oxlongs.
Hey, you're holding strong.
I know, but I don't know why.
I've even considered him.
I don't know why. I want him in there, but he's not in there. I don't know what I'm doing.
The run at the start of the year is great. He has the great first three, but I think it could be a first four because based on last year's stats, the St. Kilda Saints are a slightly hard matchup for midfielders, but I don't know if that's going to be the case this year. They don't look very good at all, and this was the team that they obviously played in the preseason game. Now, it is preseason. They had some players out, but I think he could get off to a big fly here. I think he is definitely underpriced, whereas I wasn't sure about that before. I think he is going to be about that mid-90s to maybe high 90s. The question more is, are there better options? And I still think that that is a fairly strong... possibility, because there are some other good options in the forward line, because he is still priced at about 90. I don't see him going over 100 by much at all, if any. So you've probably got a maximum of 10 points of upside in there. He's not a captain option at that sort of a level. So is 10 points of value worth the fact that you're not going to have to trade him throughout the year, and you know you're giving up maybe someone who's got 15 to 20 points of upside elsewhere?
You say 10 points of upside, but what is the average in the first four? Because that makes a difference.
Yeah. Well, it does, yeah, to a degree. It might just mean people who don't get him, that don't start with him, don't get him until maybe the mid-season buys. And you just have to wait until he is cheaper at that point. And at that point, I think it will level out. So with these guys who are keepers and not captain options, it's like this weird kind of level. I think that the early season run doesn't affect me as much, whereas a Connor Rosie, the early season run is more important to me because I feel like I can put a captaincy on him. Whereas for Horn Francis, I don't feel confident in doing that. And he's going to be in your side all year, so it all will level out in the end. It just might mean if you don't start him, you're going to have to be a bit more patient and wait for those harder matchups to come in to jump on. But with that said, I do think now he is underpriced, so you can definitely go there when I wasn't saying that a few weeks ago. So that to me is stocks up. My guy, Isaac Rankin, is also stocks up, and I don't know what more you could have wanted to see from Isaac Rankin in that game. What did you say? It was the highest centre bounce midfielder before, so this is not a role where it's a Dusty role, a Jordan Dugowie role, a Tom Papley role. This is not a token midfield spot. This is a player who is actually playing midfield. And I think this is really good things for Isaac Rankin. Has he come into your side at all?
He has, and there was a little patch there where even he and the Horny Boy were both there.
Yeah, see, I think that's
it was short-lived.
An interesting discussion.
It was short-lived at the Oxlongs, but I don't think there's doubting that there's value in both those players. And especially, I know you said that early run maybe doesn't matter so much for a guy like Horn Francis who's a keeper, but if I'm paying for a guy that's priced there, I'd love for him to get off to a great four-game run. Makes me feel good about the pick and puts other people scrambling.
So who, if you had to pick one right now between Horn Francis and Isaac Rankin, who
only
are you
because
picking?
He's cheaper, I think. He's 100K cheaper, and I feel like I might need that cash. The other thing too, the reason why it was short-lived with with those two guys at the Oxlongs is because I feel like we're going to need some cash to sort out what's happening in defence at the moment. There's so many guys that aren't unfortunately putting their hands up that it means do you have to kind of overpay for guys back there, especially with a shortage of rookies perhaps. And so that extra,
and it does look like the forward line rookies are maybe some of our better ones as well. So by going with those top guys, you might be taking some rookies off the field that you might want on the field and putting a worse rookie on the field somewhere else.
Exactly. Think about it like this. Do you want Davidson or Bo Allen on field?
And
if you pay up for all of these forwards, you know, Horn Francis, Rankin, McRae, Sanders, Smith, I'm definitely missing someone. Like if you're paying up for Caleb Daniel and then you get like a Garcia, well, suddenly you don't have a rookie on field.
Yeah.
And the issue is that you'll have a rookie somewhere else and they're probably crap compared to one of the ones you might be
able
to have. Yeah,
I think having these guys in your team will inevitably be tied to do you want someone like a Sam Davison on your field or not? Because I think if you've got these guys on your side, you're probably having Davison on the bench. And that has some structure implications with other rookies on your field. So you can like these guys all you want, but there is a certain structure element tied to starting them. And that's what kind of stops me from picking both. Even though I think both could be good picks. I agree with you. If I had to choose one, it would be Isaac Rankin because he is cheaper. But I wouldn't begrudge anyone if they went to Horn Francis first. I think in draft, I'd have him ahead of Rankin. I think he's more likely to outscore Rankin, but I think the gap is closer than their starting price suggests. So, those are my thoughts.
Next price bracket down, the Colonel.
Riley Sanders. Yeah, so he's almost last man standing. So you've got no Dale who was in this one. You also had no Ed Richards. Bont went out 6 minutes early, 6 minutes into the game, and you've got no Treloar still there. So he's just rising up the board by default, really. He did what he needed to do. I think he looked all right. He was, I think, the number one CBA player at the end of the game. I think some of the other guys might have eased up in the second half. But I think just for early on, especially, he seems like he's 20 points under pretty comfortably.
Yeah, and I think he's a good pick in the forward line, especially if you're going a little bit lighter on without Rankin and Horn Francis. I think he's a guy that will have to fill a spot.
He might have a shelf life because when someone like Bont comes back in, you know, you're probably going to have Ed Richards, Libba, Bont still as their big three. Treloar's eventually going to come back in. He pushes him down to five. So I don't know if he's going to be able to stay there, but I think by that time he'll have made enough cash so we can maybe move him on to a Horn Francis or a Rankin or whoever you don't pick and sort of get him up to a proper big dog, and I think that would be a fine play. Price at 64, I think that's a good starting pick. So he is stocks up. The next guy is Hobbsy. He had a big score. He turned up, didn't he?
He did have a big score. Once he was the leading scorer at 116. Just a little...
For us to consider him more close? Because I... Well, we talked about him in the preseason, but I don't think I ever really seriously
considered him. little asterisk on this one is the way he went about getting those points. So if you go and have a look at his breakdown, the first...
The quarter by quarter.
Well, I think it tells a story because in the first three quarters he scored, let's do a little bit of quick math, it's going to be somewhere in the high 60s, which is okay. And then in the fourth quarter he goes 47. But keep in mind that Caldwell was nowhere to be seen in the fourth quarter. He was nowhere to be seen after pretty much quarter time. And then Zach Merritt very much kind of fell out of the game just because he's an absolute jet and he's just ticking the legs over in this one as well. So the majority of those points coming at the end when Caldwell had...
And there seemed to be a lot of points in Essendon. Like, if you just look at that fourth quarter, you have to go so far down before you find the first Geelong player. So I think...
So well, Caldwell had 13 CBAs in the very short time he was out there, and Merritt had 12 CBAs compared to Hobbs's 24. You're going to tell me that Hobbs is going to have more CBAs than those two guys? I can't see it happening.
I think this bodes well with him being in the side. I think he might have locked in maybe a potential, a little bit of a run at it to not get vested, but I don't think the role will be what happens here. So not someone I think I'm keen to start on. I think he's definitely someone you can draft at the end of your drafts there in the forward line for sure, because I think he will be there at least, which is good.
He is very cheap, and he's another guy. He's a guy similar to Tom Power. There could be a case to be given it a bit of I told you so to me later in the year if he goes well.
Someone you could also trade down to, I think. Like if...
Yeah.
You know, Sanders isn't doing it, or someone like Hugo Garcia. It's a nice little sneaky sideways to him there. The next guy here, which to me is probably the most surprising one, that it was completely off my radar. Jeremy Finlayson had a big game. He naturally is the replacement for Dan Houston, like duh, obviously, just like old mate. McGovern last year for the Eagles, the obvious replacement for Shanahan. So he's a forward because he played forward. I don't think he's ever played back. Have you ever, you remember Finlayson playing as a defender? I don't remember, but he was taking kick-ins. The guy, the comparison I immediately thought of when I was watching this game was Harry Himmelberg. Bit of a taller defender, but has a decent kick, takes some kick-ins. Not necessarily playing lockdown, but little bit defensive. And if he can score like Himmelberg, that's a great pick. 80 plus. I don't know if I'm ready to launch after one game of seeing it in the preseason against the Saints, who they demolished, and a lot of defenders scored really well. I think that's the biggest thing for me. But price of 57, I've definitely put him right up my draft rankings.
Yeah, well, I mean, here are some defender scores. Finlayson, 115. Logan Evans, 108. Bergman, 108. Alier, 96. But is Jace Berg on? He would have been playing across halfback.
Yeah,
or is
he was playing wing or halfback. Yeah.
97.
They smashed them. So I think that is the biggest thing there. Like the asterisks, and to be not too caught up in it, is it's the Saints and they got absolutely smashed from the very beginning of the game. So I think Finlayson will definitely outscore his 57. Is it enough for him to go 80 plus? I have my doubts.
The thing about this is as well is he's a lovely sideways pivot from any of these guys that we're looking at in the midfield. So if Sanders, for whatever reason, doesn't get off to a fly, Bailey Smith, Caleb Daniels a little bit cheaper, but if one of these guys just doesn't quite work out, it's a pretty easy sideways trade to get over there. But like you said, when we've only seen it one game, it would be a brave person to just jump straight on it.
I think so too. Sam Davidson, affectionately known as the Doctor by the traders. Apparently, he left medical school to come and try get his footy career. And I think so far, he's made a pretty good decision.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he just killed that game. Was pretty much best on ground in the first half. Faded a little bit towards the end, but he did everything he needs to do to... I think he's absolutely locked into our side. Like we said before, the question is, on your field, on your bench, you currently looks like you have him on your field. Is that right?
Yeah, I think I'm going to make a spot for him at F6, just because of what you talked about before. Of all the rookies that I've seen thus far, he and Levi Ashcroft are the ones I've got most confidence in.
So I would agree.
It would be silly to have a structure where he sits on the bench and you have to field somebody in defence that you're not as happy with. So I think that he'll lock down that F6 position for me.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a fair play. He's 23 years old, so older player as well, which we like to see some of those mature bodies come in. And he can run all day, man. Like he was getting up and down that wing very, very nicely, going forward, going back. So can find the ball, can tackle pretty well too. So I think he's got a few number of ways to score well. So lock him into your side. The question is just, do you start him or not? Last few players we'll talk about. Stocks down. I'm going to start with Jack Graham. Was someone who I was very much interested in watching, but had the role, but just the 65, which I think is his price stat figure. And the talking about the Richmond scoring poorly, the West Coast Eagles scored worse than last year. And obviously had Harley Reid back in this one, Tim Kelly back in this one. I think just with a few other players doing what they need to, he's not someone that's forced my hand. So I can see him outscoring his price, I think at 65, but I think that West Coast lack of scoring is too much for him to overcome to be enough value. What are your thoughts on Graham? Do you think he's justifiably stocks down?
Yeah, agreed. The role is good, and normally we preach role over score in the preseason, but Fridge also doesn't have a huge history of scoring.
No.
And it's worrying. Look, there'll be games where he pops off and has decent
scores.
We sit there and go, oh, is that real? Is that real? But I think the Fridge, unfortunately, is kind of somewhere between a 65 and 80. And week to week, that's not going to get it done.
A couple of rookies that I think are stocks down. Joe Berry is someone that I have liked the look of at times, but I think his role is not going to be a huge one for fantasy. Elijah Hewitt is someone that for a long time this preseason, Luke, was sitting at our F6, getting a free ride. He didn't play on the weekend, so it's maybe a bit harsh to have him stocks down, but I'm already a little bit nervous about that West Coast midfield. I think he's behind Graham, he's behind Reid, he's behind Kelly, he's probably behind Duggan. How many points can you really score in that West Coast team? So we went from having a lot of West Coast options to I don't know if I'm going to start any of them.
I don't know if I want to hear soreness either from a guy who is...
Played one practice match simulation.
Yeah, and then he's kind of fighting for that role as a young guy.
It smells like a vest, doesn't it?
It does smell vestible.
Yeah, very vesty. So I think he stocks down, unfortunately, you know... Bit harsh, like I said, he didn't play, but yeah, it just makes me a bit nervous picking a player like that. And Cody Angove is another player that I think is stocks down. Lit the world on fire last time, but he was late onto the field this game, and I never love to see that. So you find yourself flip-flopping between some of these players. Like Leek was the guy that did that last time, but he played more of the game this time. I think you've got to try and rely on the stuff that's closer to the season. We will see it in round zero. But I take more stock in this game than I did the week before. So Cody Angove was the one that was absent for a chunk of this game. So he stocks down for me from the Giants forward rookie line.
Past my bedtime, mate.
Mate, you've been...
It's a big one.
You've been working hard, fighting off hardly weather working. Storms. And that will do it for us today, guys. Make sure you guys give this video a big like and subscribe to the podcast. And if you want to go and check out our detailed review of every single match simulation, preseason, AAMI Community Series game, hell, we even did the Indigenous All-Star game, a review there as well, head over to patreon.com/theballboys. We will be doing a team reveal on Patreon exclusively. So if you want to see our teams after the match simulation and preseason games, head over to Patreon. And also you're going to get some blueprints, the projections, which are all up to date now after the practice matches are all there as well. And we will see you guys next time to solve some opening round roulette. Bye.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.